Well, we've worshiped the Lord and singing just wonderful songs and been led by such blessed talent. And we've worshiped the Lord and hearing wonderful testimonies from our dear sister as she was baptized and prayed together and sing his more praises together. And now we'll feast upon his word together. The prophet Isaiah went into the temple, saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. It tells us something about the situation in Israel without reading the whole book of Isaiah. Uzziah was actually, though his life ended badly, he was a prosperous king, wise king, governed the nation to great wealth. And that wealth made the people, unfortunately, in Isaiah's day, very complacent, very spiritually dry, if borderline dying spiritually, as they looked to their own strength instead of relying on the strength of God. They felt themselves sufficient, and they went through the motions of worship. God calls Isaiah into the temple, and he says, "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" The angels, those who are without sin, in a sense, created perfect, in the presence of the thrice holy God, have to cover their eyes to the glory. And Isaiah gazes upon that glory. And his response is instructive for us, that he would cry, "Woe," which really means doom. Doom upon me. Pronouncing woe was pronouncing your doom. It's all over. He said, "I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have beheld the glory of God." Isaiah at that moment recognized his complete and total need for grace. He knew, as perhaps the most holy man in Israel in his day, you know, we think of the New Testament, we think of Paul as the greatest Christian. The Old Testament, we might think of Isaiah as one of the greatest saints whose sandaled feet ever walked in the Holy Land. And he was utterly inadequate and fully reliant upon the grace of God. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for.'" Isaiah knew that in order to survive in the presence of a holy God, he needed something from outside of himself that came from God himself in order to preserve and save him. And so the burning coal represents for us the atonement of Christ. That Christ would go to the cross, the perfect, thrice holy Son of God, and die on a Roman beam of execution, taking our sins upon himself so that the grace of God would come to us through faith in him. Friends, We are studying the Sermon on the Mount. And if you've been with us, if you've been, I don't mean present in the pew with us, but that too, but if you've been with us, if you've been on this journey so far, you know that we are fully reliant on the grace of God. Because the standards that Jesus lays down for his kingdom are high. Higher than you or I can attain to. In fact, if you remember way back in chapter 5, when we were there many weeks ago, he concludes that section, actually begins and concludes that section. He says in chapter 5, verse 20, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The first century listener heard that and didn't think like you think. You well-informed Bible student, you know that the Pharisees are hypocrites. You've read the end of the book. You know that, yeah, of course, you got to be more righteous than the hypocrites. Absolutely. That's not what they thought. They thought, those are the holy men. Those are the men who show us the way to God. Those are the men who don't sin very often at all in their minds. How in the world? This is an unattainable standard. And just to drive it home, after he talks about, teaches on God is concerned with the inside, not the outside. What's going on in your heart regarding anger is murder. You may not have committed adultery, but you're guilty if you lust on the inside. He goes on to talk about divorce and oaths and retaliation and loving your enemies, just to top it off to make it a little bit more difficult. And then if you are still confused, in verse 48 of chapter 5, he says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The standard for entering into Christ's kingdom as Christ's kingdom citizens is perfection. So if you've been with us on this journey, you know that we have an indescribable need for the grace of God. And friends, that doesn't change in our text this morning as we pick it up in chapter 7, verse 7 on prayer. Look there with me if you would. Matthew 7, verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you again for your word. We come, O Lord, with hearts that are tuned to you, O Lord. And Lord, may we hear from you in your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to put aside the things of yesterday and today, that we might just think and abide in you, Lord Jesus, now. And I pray you would be with me, O Lord, as I bring your word to your precious saints. May you fill me with your spirit to speak your words according to your will. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord calls us to pray. Calls us to pray in such a way that we are going to see that we are desperately in need of God's grace. We are to pray, very simple outline this morning, we are to pray with perseverance, and we are to pray with confidence. Verse 7, ask, seek, not, and knock. Note that progression there in prayer. If you ask, it is a request, some general need that you might have. But then seeking, to seek, goes beyond the mere request. You now have activity implied in that command. We're actively seeking. And knock goes even further. You're not just asking and seeking, but now you are diligently knocking, persistently knocking, till the door opens. All three of these words, the grammar is going to help us out here a bit, all three of these words are imperatives. That is, they are commands, and they are in the present tense. So the present tense is different than the aorist tense, which would be in the undefined past, something that happened. The present tense actually means ongoing durative action. So it's something that continues, something that continues to happen. So the sense of verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, is ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. That's the sense of what Jesus is commanding us to do here. And the word and in verse 7 indicates a result. And it will be given to you, and you will find, and it will be opened. There's an increasing intensity in the first two verses. And what it really speaks to here is our attitude when we pray. We want to pray persistently, and we want to pray with perseverance. Luke's gospel contains the same saying of Jesus here, but he begins the section with the parable that Jesus taught about the friend who visited at midnight. And I'll just read it to you from Luke 11. He said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, which means persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Then Jesus speaks the same words in Luke that he does here in Matthew 7. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. What's Jesus' point? Jesus' point is persistence in prayer. That is, he wants his followers to pray with passion and to pray with perseverance. The Greek word there for persistence in Luke 5, the friend at midnight, literally means without shame. The man is knocking in the middle of the night. Can you imagine someone might do that in the dark of the early morning hours? Come to your house shamelessly and knock on the door, but not stop until you get out of bed and come answer the door. This is the persistent type of prayer that the Lord is instructing us here. You pray this way. You pray this way every time a child is sick. Every time that precious little one's fever gets a little higher than you're comfortable with. You pray this way when your loved one is ill and hospitalized. You and I pray this way when financial crisis hits. This, friends, these circumstances are instructive for us because they highlight, and you know, your full dependence on the grace of God. Amen? When it is completely out of your control, and there's nothing you can do but pray. You pray fervently, resting, trusting in God's grace. But here's where we're going. You already got that down. I know you do that. But do you pray passionately and persistently for your own spiritual growth? As you read the Sermon on the Mount, as you hear it preached, do you go home and cry down grace from God? Do you ask, seek, not to gain in personal holiness? How about that sin that you've confessed over and over and over? Have you passionately and persistently prayed with perseverance the grace of God to come down and change you from the inside out? To experience, as I read from Romans 6, the death of the old man. Completely dead. Not weak. Not assailing me on the weekends. Dead. Putting him to death by the Spirit, Romans 8:13. Have you prayed that grace down? Do you keep knocking for a forgiving spirit towards others? Do you keep seeking God in prayer for your critical spirit? Do you keep calling down the grace of God until it is gone? Until that sin is no more clinging to you? Do you pray passionately that way? That is how we must pray. Seek and you will find. Friends, we don't seek hard enough. That's why we don't find. We don't come to God desperate for help like we do when your loved one is lying in the hospital. We don't come to God that way for the things we've desensitized ourselves to that God said that should be no part of your life. R. Kent Hughes says this. He asked it this way. In the context of the Sermon on the Mount, it's excellent. Write it down. Do you pray that the character of the kingdom would be formed in you? I love that. I'm going to put that on my wall. Do you pray that the character of the kingdom would be formed in you? As I mentioned, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' requirements for entering into the kingdom, kingdom citizen, is perfection. You must be perfect. Matthew 5:8 says, only the pure in heart will see God. Christ calls his people to holiness. God calls his people to holiness. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:2 and 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God's standard is perfection. Are you calling down the grace of God for your life? We all have sinned. All of us stand guilty. We all fall short of God's glory. And although we are capable of doing some good things, our hearts are often inclined to evil. We have all sinned and fall short of his perfect standard, and that highlights again our need for grace. God's holy standard and our lack of perfect righteousness teaches us that we have no hope apart from God's saving grace. We have a desperate need for grace. Grace is unearned favor, undeserved favor, unmerited goodness given to you. We need to sense our need for grace. When we sense our dire need for God's grace, that is when we turn to him in passionate prayer. When we see clearly the holiness of God, his perfect righteousness, his high standard, when we see accurately then our sinful condition, then we cry out in prayer for his mercy. If you think you're doing okay because you're comparing yourself to someone else, do you get what's wrong with that now? You should be comparing yourself vertically. So the next time you see somebody below it, and you say, oh, well, I'm doing pretty good because I do better than him. Remember Isaiah, right? Remember Isaiah. That's not the standard. That person, no matter what you thought of them, no matter how high a pedestal you may have put them on, they are not the standard. God is. Ask, seek, not. We appeal to God's ever-present love in Christ, his ever-present mercy in Christ, his ever-present grace to his children. He is gracious and merciful. Luke 6:35, listen, he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Is that not a cause for rejoicing? God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. This is grace to the undeserving. Ask, seek, and knock. We are to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Persevering in prayer is the key to unlocking God's treasures to us. And the treasure is Christ himself. As we continue to ask, seek, and knock, we are drawn ever closer in communion with Christ. We get to know him in his holiness. As we make further strides in sanctification, we are walking more closely with Christ. We were just studying at 9 o'clock at the adult equipping class, and I paused at the beginning just to remind ourselves the reason we study doctrine is to know the God of doctrine, the God of theology, the God that the Bible teaches, to know him more intimately, more closely. The Lord tells his people in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Passionate, persistent, persevering prayer that keeps on asking, keeps on seeking, and keeps on knocking. Brothers and sisters, this is who we need to be. This is what we need to do. R. Kent Hughes, in case you haven't figured it out, I was reading a book by him. R. Kent Hughes said, why does God want us to persist intensely in prayer for the things he surely wants to give us? This is a good question. Why does he want us to be so persistent in prayer for the things he already wants to give us? The answer, he wants to give us great spiritual treasures, but he will not give it to us until we are ready. Persistent prayer prepares us for those treasures. To be ready, this is what I think, to be ready means to know that you must rely fully on God's grace. That makes us ready to come into the throne room of God, to bow down in prayer and pour our hearts out to him, asking, seeking, knocking, not stopping to pray for his unearned favor, for his grace come upon us. So we are to pray with perseverance, verses 7 and 8. We're to pray persistently and passionately. Secondly, we are to pray with confidence. We are to pray with confidence. Look there with me again at Matthew 7. This is such good news. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? I'll just read those two for now. Jesus teaches us here to not only persevere in prayer, but to have confidence in prayer. Because, verse 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? R. Kent Hughes again, the only condition for our receiving spiritual treasures is persistence. If we persistently ask for increased spiritual growth and understanding and intimacy with God, we will receive it. Jesus is not offering us here a blank check. He's not giving us a divine lever to pull through prayer that just dispenses blessings to us according to our will. God answers prayer, and he gives us here the key to answered prayer, I think. But he often will answer us and say no. Perhaps you can think of a prayer that you prayed and are glad that God did not give you what you prayed for. That guy in high school that you had eyes for, and you prayed, oh Lord, he's the one. And you married somebody else because he went out with another girl. And then you went to your 20th high school reunion and said, praise the Lord. Thank you for saying no. How marvelous it is that he always answers the persistent prayer for us to his children for spiritual growth. and we can be assured. The illustration here in verses 9 and 10 is an intentionally bizarre because he's exaggerating to make a point. Around the Lake of Galilee would have been many flat stones that would have resembled a loaf of first century bread. No parent would intentionally give a rock to his hungry child. Local fish were a staple in the Galilean diet. It would be equally shocking and unthinkable that when a child asked for fish because he was hungry, his father would give him a snake. Although some children have indeed experienced great pain at the hands of wicked fathers, generally speaking, no first century father would be so calloused and cruel. Jesus gives us this great assurance of the Father's good intention to bless us. Chapter 7, verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. If it's true of the lesser, how much of the greater? If a little child could lift that, how much more a grown man could lift that is kind of the idea. Your heavenly Father is kinder, more gracious, more loving, more caring, more concerned with your well-being than the best father that ever walked the earth times infinity. He is Abba Father. God speaks this of himself to his people through Isaiah in Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? The rhetorical answer to that question is no. A woman doesn't normally ever forget her nursing child. Even these may forget, God says, yet I will not forget you. Argument from the lesser to the greater. How much more? Our earthly fathers were flawed. Even the best dads make errors in their judgment. They sometimes fail to give good gifts, speak good words, or do good things. But your heavenly Father never fails. He never errs. He never misses. He's always a faithful Father. And this is something you can take home, hold on to for the rest of your life till you see the Lord in glory. He always has your best interest in mind and always gives what is best for you. This is the God to whom we worship. Luke's parallel account gives us insight into just how the Father always gives us what is best. Luke 11:13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke mentions Jesus' account of explaining the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the bestower of good gifts. Also, it is the indwelling Holy Spirit who knows exactly what you need. So if you are praying for something, but it's a little off target, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. Listen to Romans 8. Well, let's turn there. Romans chapter 8. To see this ministry at work in the life of every believer that gives you great confidence in prayer. Great confidence in the God to whom you pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We read verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit will search our hearts and intercedes for us so that we will receive from the hand of God exactly what we need. Our confident assurance is that God will bless us with good things. But what do you need to do? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God knows what we need, and he gives us exactly what we need for our spiritual benefit. First and foremost, God gives eternal life. If you haven't received eternal life, I encourage you, ask, seek, knock today. Come to the Lord humbly, that you are a sinner in need of salvation. Receive the forgiveness of sins that comes from Christ's sacrifice on the cross for your sins. The one who stood in your place, humbly seek God with all your heart, and you will receive the gift of eternal life today. For you who are saved, brothers and sisters in Christ, what good gifts will God give to you when you persistently, passionately come to Him in prayer? Well, then possibilities are innumerable. But we can get some really good context from our text here in Matthew 7. So turn back to Matthew 7 with me, and we'll just run through a few of them. Confidence in prayer. First one is for wisdom, discernment. We are in the section beginning in verse 7 of chapter 7. Look back up at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Last week we looked at, this is the holy things, the good things, the things of God, the gospel, those things that are precious to God in Christ. There are certain people that are going to mock the gospel, certain people that are going to persecute you for the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel, but there's a point where we say, this is a closed audience. How do you know? How do you know when it's time to share the gospel again, when it's time to say, no, those are spiritual dogs that are going to attack me? We need wisdom and discernment from God. We need to call down the grace of God. Chapter 5, verse 6 of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Praying down God's grace for new and sanctified appetites. Listen, here's a prayer I prayed many years ago, where I read that verse and was convicted because I didn't hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I thought, this is an area I really need to address. Perhaps you don't hunger and thirst to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You with me? Confess that sin. Pray down God's grace. Keep asking, keep seeking until you have sanctified appetites. Verse 7 of chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Are you pitiless? Are you an unmerciful person? Pray down the grace of God, because God will answer that prayer to make you merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you allowed the things of this world to pollute your heart? Pray fervently for a pure heart. God will answer that prayer and purify the heart of the believer every time. Verse 9 of chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a broker of peace or a broker of drama? Broker of controversy, beseech God to make you a peacemaker. Someone who naturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, makes peace in the church and in family and everywhere you go. Have you shed your anger? Chapter 5, verse 21. Or are you given to quickly to anger? Being a person who is full of grace and mercy towards others, pray that down. God will answer that prayer if you ask, seek, and keep on knocking. Have you been delivered from sinful lust? Verse 27 of chapter 5. Pray that the Lord would bless you to have not one unclean thought that rules your heart. Pray down that grace. Friends, He will answer that prayer. God's grace is sufficient. If you are in the throes, if you are chained to lust, then this sermon is for you. This message is for you. Ask and seek and knock, because the Lord will answer that prayer. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. How about loving your enemies? How are you doing in that category? Do you need more grace? Then passionately and persistently pray that the Lord would change your heart all the more. He's already given you a new heart. Now pray that that heart would grow spiritually, mature. You would have a heart that would know what it means to truly love others. Chapter 6, verse 25. Do you have an anxious heart? Are you easily given to fear? Do you worry about stuff? Are you a worrywart? That's sinful worry. Pray down God's grace. Are you short on graces? Continue to ask God to change you more into the image of Christ. Pray for these spiritual benefits like you are a dying man or a dying woman. Persevere and pray with confidence, knowing that God is your heavenly Father. He has no stones and he has no snakes to answer your prayers with, okay? He wants to bless you with food that delights the palate, so to speak. He wants to bless you with the blessings that only he can give to deliver from these besetting sins and many more that I've not mentioned, to help you grow in holiness, to grow in sanctification. Do you know the joy of your salvation today? When you walk out of here and you go home, are you sharing the joy of Christ with your children, with your family? Pray, because that is the prayer that God delights to answer, to make you more like his Son, to conform you more into the image of Christ, and have the confidence of knowing that this is a prayer that God is going to answer. He will provide. You say, well, Jim, I've been praying for, I'm driving a Subaru, and I really want a new pickup truck. But I think they're pushing like $100,000 now, aren't they? New ones? So I'm just praying. I'm trusting in the Lord. Well, okay. What has he said so far? I still see the Subaru out there. No. He said no. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, what God promises to give us is according to our needs. He will answer these prayers. Listen. If you're taking notes, just jot it down. I'll read it to you. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Friends, I can affirm from the word of God today to you that it is the will of God for you that you grow in spiritual maturity, that you are transformed all the more into the image of Christ, that you conquer by God's grace and by his Spirit the besetting sins that have been plaguing you. I can tell you with 100% confidence from the word of God that that is God's will, and God will answer that prayer in the affirmative if you will only ask and seek and knock. Now, as far as other things, you're just going to have to ask him about that truck. But when it comes to these things, friends, listen, pray with confidence. Pray as a child asking his father for food. What father is not going to feed his hungry child? Keep asking because you will receive. Keep seeking because you will find. And keep knocking and God will open unto you. The Father grants spiritual blessings to those who keep asking. Our good and heavenly Father gives the kingdom and righteousness to those who keep seeking. The Father permits entrance through the gate of life to those who keep knocking. The Father's generosity to his children far exceeds the generosity of any father on earth. And God's grace will come down to his children who confess their need for him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your precious and eternal promises. We thank you, O Lord, that we do not come to an indifferent God. We thank you that we do not come to a God who is busy with other things, doesn't have time to hear us. Lord, we come to you who are our heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that you have made us your children by faith. We pray in Jesus' name you would hear our prayers today and tomorrow and all this week for spiritual growth, for further sanctification, to be holy people, to live lives that glorify you, to love and not hate, to bless and not curse. Lord, the Sermon on the Mount is a blessing. And we confess our great need for your grace to live according to it, that we might glorify your name, O Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.